gathering one, who calls us to love one another.
Because love is from God.
You are the gathering one, who calls us into relationship.
To love and work, to support and heal.
You are the gathering one, who calls us into community with all people.
To bring justice and hope, freedom and truth.
May we proclaim God's love in all that we say and do.
In all creation, in our relationships, may God's love be made known. Amen.
Indeed, may God's love be made known right here in this place right now. The peace of Christ be with you. Now give it away. If you came here this morning hoping to explore our rich architecture or hear the soul-stirring, room-shaking music from our organ, well, you have found a people who are anxious to show you even more. If you came here this morning because you have been walking through life alone, you have found a people who are prepared to hold your hand so we can walk through life together. If you came here this morning with hard-pressed questions and unsure explanations, well, you have found a people who have been asking those same questions for a long time, and we are eager to ask even more with you. And if you came here this morning slightly curious or tremendously eager to learn about the universe in a new and refreshing way, you have found a people who have been waiting to share our life-giving, justice-seeking, turn-it-on-its-head faith with you. And if you came here this morning, confident in what you believe or have no idea what to believe, then at least believe this. You have found a people who will proclaim in action and spirit that on behalf of Jesus Christ, you are welcome at Old South Church in Boston. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this: no matter who you love, what kind of body you have, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome in this place. I have a few things to note. First, after worship, you are invited to join us in the Gordon Chapel, which is right through those doors behind the sanctuary, for a time of refreshment and conversation. There, on this Bring a Friend to Church Sunday, we hope you will walk right up to someone you don't know, be brave, say hello. I promise they will be nice to you. And if you do, if you meet someone totally new, make sure you tell them how excited you are that they are here in worship today. If that seems like a bit too much on your first day, then I invite you to come up to the front of the sanctuary to our welcome hub found near the piano, and that's where I'll be. That's a place to connect and ask questions or just to say hello. The next thing are we have these fellowship pads that you can find at the end of your pew. Pick those up, hold them up in the air. If you've got, I see one, I see two, I see three, I see 100. Perfect. Pick that up, write something down in it, and pass it down the row. If you write enough information, we will write you back with a love note, letting you know how excited we were you joined us today. On Sunday, October 6th at 11 o'clock, we will welcome Brian Henn, who is the director of the Center for Congregational Song, to lead us in Ancient Modern. It's a hymn festival celebrating the rich and deep singing tradition of the global church, during which we will premiere our 350th anniversary hymn that was written to celebrate 350 years of ministry as a congregation. Brian will be with us the day before on Saturday at 10 a.m. to lead a workshop on the music that we will sing in worship, so all are welcome to join us for that. The church is quite alive because also during that weekend, we will host our annual all-church retreat on Cape Cod, and this is not like any old church retreat because this retreat is fun. You will have programming and food and friends, and it's at the beach. So come and join us at the beach. Registration information is in the insert of your bulletin. Have you ever wanted to know how it came to be that we have women in the pulpit, or how it is that we allow all people to come to communion? Perhaps you are curious how we have no bishops as a people, but that the members themselves lead and vote in this congregation. Or maybe you just want to know how to get more involved, how to make your place here at Old South Church. Well, you are invited to join us for our Connections coffee or lunch next weekend. This is a chance to meet some of the clergy and members of this church, have your questions answered. At the very least, you can ask them, even if we don't have an answer for you, and you can learn more about our community. Details on how to RSVP for that can be found in your bulletin. Siblings in Christ, if you came here today, not sure if you belong, not sure if you should be here, then look around. You have found yourself among a people, a church, that knows we couldn't be, couldn't teach, couldn't preach, couldn't sing, couldn't worship without you. So let us worship God. Today's lesson from Mark reveals to us the true kindred of Jesus. Then his mothers and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Please be seated. And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Families. Families can be complicated. Our families hopefully love and nurture us, but sometimes they also misunderstand us. For some people, thinking of family is mostly comforting, bringing up memories of fun family times together, of work and play, of small moments of caring in daily life. For others, talking about families is hard. For some of us, we are separated from our families by long distances. Sometimes we're separated from our families by walls built by hurt and rejection. Yes, talking about families can be tough. And for many of us, we fall somewhere in between. in our experiences of the messy and complicated lives as parents and children, siblings, aunts and uncles and cousins. Our families are made up of people who are blessed, but also flawed. Family is a complicated thing, and no one knew that like Jesus. Can you imagine the sibling rivalry in that family? His little brother James, how many times did he have to hear, "Can't you be more like Jesus?" And Jesus had two dads way before that was cool. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus is deep in his ministry. He's done a bunch of healing and exorcising of demons. He's riled up the religious authority by speaking truth to power and saying that compassion is more important than conformity. So now a large crowd is following him wherever he goes, and he returns to his home, where he's greeted by those religious authorities who are so riled up that they've spread a rumor he is possessed by Satan, and also by his family, who come to him to restrain him. Actually, the text, the word that's used is to seize him, the same word used before Jesus is taken by the authorities to the crucifixion. Now, we don't know exactly why his family is there, whether they're worried that he's in danger because he's not taking care of himself, or if they're just a bit embarrassed that their family member is becoming a laughingstock of the area. But what is clear, without equivocation, is Jesus' response when he's told that his family is looking to speak with him. Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those seated around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Whoever does the will of God is family to me." Now, this is just what Jesus does. Jesus likes to turn things on their head, just like flipping the moneylenders' tables in the temple, or coming out with that line about the last shall be first, or meek inheriting the earth. Jesus likes to turn things on their head. And so here, he's taken the notion of family and flipped it upside down and said that it is not lineage or blood that makes a family. It's love. Love is what makes a family. Jesus builds his own chosen family of the disciples. This is a familiar term in the LGBTQ community that refers to families that are brought together not by blood or tradition, but by choice. The people with whom you spend your life, not because you are related or obligated, but because you are committed. For some of us, blood family and chosen family are the same. For others of us, it's not the same thing. But here's the exciting thing regardless. Chosen families are very biblical. The Hebrew Bible and the New Testament are both obsessed with the notion of covenant, the mutual agreement to walk side by side through life. God enters a covenant with the people, and the people enter covenant with God. Individuals and families covenant together, and the traditional biblical family doesn't look like a wife, a husband, and 2.5 kids. It looks like Ruth and Naomi, two widows who look to the world as if they have nothing, but who in fact have everything they need because they have each other and God. If we are serious when we say that God is love, then we also mean that God is alive and present in any family where love is found. Church, at its best, can be chosen family. When we join a community like this one, we're saying to each other, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Now, like any family, we won't always get it right. In fact, we will make some mistakes. But the point isn't to be perfect. The point is to be together. The point is to love one another, to show forgiveness, to take off our masks of perfectionism, to move beyond that sense of inadequacy or unlovableness, and encounter one another in vulnerable truth. The point is to learn from one another and to become transformed in the process. To let go of life as we know it for the sake of something bigger than ourselves. To choose one another as God has chosen us, all of us, as people worthy of love and honor. In establishing the early church, Jesus knew what it could mean to tell people there is a place for you, there is a community for you. There are so many in this world, and even in this own room, who may feel they have no one who's there for them, who may feel alone in this world. But Jesus, love incarnate in the world, came to teach us that we must be there for one another. We must build community together, because this world, this life, is too hard to go on our own. And so Jesus launched the early church, of which we are all inheritors, to be a place where even the most outcast, even the most alone person can feel a sense of home and welcome and love and embrace. In our baptism promises, we say this to each new person who becomes part of our life of faith. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. And we mean that sincerely. So if you need to talk to someone, or if you have something you'd like a prayer for, reach out, because we are here and we've already promised to be family to you. We are here also to create and maintain a nurturing and challenging environment for one another, which means that while we will care for one another, we will also push one another to try new things. For example, the last hymn we'll sing today has some Spanish in it. And I will encourage you, even to practice right now, we will say the words, Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. Can we say that? Somos el cuerpo de Cristo, which means we are the body of Christ. So we're going to push you to try something new because it's good for you. We will also, as family, try to call you out on a blind spot or two. We did that throughout our Lenten season last spring, where we looked really deeply at the sins inherent in the life of the church historically, and the things that we all can do to work to transform those blind spots in our lives into possibilities for grace and transformation. It is a mark of a healthy family to encourage one another to grow and change. Jesus understood what a small group of people united together with God's love could do. One of the main ways that we here at Old South Church provide challenge and support to one another is through our small group ministries. This morning, we will ask a special blessing upon our small groups. Right now, we have about 10 small groups going, and we hope to add a couple more soon. So, at this time, if you are in a small group, or if you've been part of a small group, or if you're planning to join a small group, and this includes choirs, would you please stand? So that's book groups, drop-in lunches, Bible studies, discussion groups. All right. So I'd invite you all to join me in a posture of blessing over these members of our small groups, and let us pray. Spirit of kindness and compassion, we come from different places to this sacred ground of communal caring. We are enriched by the company of each other and are drawn closer to the heart of love through our relationships. Thank you for the ways in which our small group ministries have blessed the lives of so many in our community. And thank you for helping these groups to grow and flourish. Touch this gathering with tenderness so that we may be refreshed anew by the grace that encompasses this day. Bless these, the small group ministries of Old South Church. May each group serve as a place of connection, support, and challenge for all those seeking to grow in faith. Bless each group member with a sense of belonging and courage to share themselves in truth and vulnerability with the members of their group. Bless our group leaders who wrangle and prepare, counsel, and encourage. May they also experience spiritual growth and the gifts of life lived in community. Spirit that glistens in the light, bless this community that shares so generously with their hands and their hearts. Keep us ever mindful of the powerful possibilities of love as we walk through all the seasons of our lives. And let the whole church say, Amen.
Thank you. be with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is our peace, our light, and our hope.
Let us pray. To the one who calls us friend, to the one who unapologetically calls us their own, our God, the lover of our souls. We come today grateful for family and for chosen family. We thank you that we can have family, that we can experience the sweet abundance of joy and of love. God, we know too that family, friendships can feel and be so complicated at times, riddled with hurt, disappointment, confusion, leaving us feeling isolated, misunderstood, unwanted, and at a loss for belonging. Our gracious God, we thank you that you see us and that you choose us. We thank you for this safe and sacred space right here that we can call home. For this deep well of community that we can drink from, that has chosen us. That even though far from perfect, we are wanted here. We are what is wanted and needed. We are seen. We are loved, and we are chosen. We are grateful even more for those we have chosen. It can be hard to choose into relationship, into family with another, as we face our own anxieties, guilt, insecurities, as we confront the reality that we are loved, and we too can be in loving, nurturing, and thriving relationships. And God, in this moment, we bring this family to you as we hold close these names we bring forward in prayer. Ginny, Rodney, Jim, Alice, Natalie, Maddie, Joe, Penny, Russ, Larry, our loving Creator, who heals and restores and makes things new. You who has come that we may have life and live it in all its fullness, in vulnerability and in truth. In you we find our rest as you hold dear every desire and longing of our hearts. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's be honest. Money isn't everything. It cannot absolve our sins. It cannot change the past. Money cannot change God's mind, even if we try. It cannot make us happier. It cannot even stop the winds of a hurricane. No, money is not everything, but until God's reign is complete, we can't do much without it. Money, when we take it into the church, when we gather it, when we bless it, and we dedicate it to God, here's what it turns into. Money turns into a sanctuary open to all who need to escape the heat or the cold or who are seeking refuge. Money, when gathered and blessed and given unto God, can become resources to advocate, to save the changing climate, or compose a symphony of acts of mercy and justice, and money can bind us into relationship with the world. Old South Christian Service and Outreach Committee is offering a $2,000 matching grant to the United Church of Christ Disaster Relief Fund. That fund supports local on-the-ground organizations in the rebuilding work that's needed in the Bahamas following Hurricane Dorian. So to join in that effort, mark Hurricane Relief on your offering checks or on your cash envelopes, or visit that link included in the announcement page of your bulletin. Offerings that are not given to that program will go directly to support ministries of justice, of grace, and of beauty here in the city of Boston. This morning's offering will now be received. Let us pray. God of glory, we dedicate these offerings to you, that they may be used to extend your reign of hope. And with them, we offer our very lives, that each of us may be for this world signs of your faithful presence and love. This we pray to you in gratitude for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Serve the Lord in all that we do, and let the whole church say, Amen. Amen.